Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer,
who was quiet during the entire introduction.
All right, so we're going to get straight into the question for this one. It's an anonymous one.
Anonymous. Have we ever had an anonymous one before?
You know, occasionally, based on the sensitivity of the question, definitely it's been anonymous. But this one, because there's so much sensitivity around it, I'm actually going to read it out.
If it says, you know, my husband's not been very nice to me lately, I'm going to say, we're calling your wife. So let's see if it's...
No, all right. This question, I mean, this is going to be fascinating, because it's something that every church planter struggles with, especially when a larger church comes into where you're at. Yeah. So it's one of those things where he wants to be kingdom minded, but there's that side of
and
it
then,
all.
Yes. And then Life Church shows up. You want to be kingdom minded, and then Craig Rochelle moves into your neighborhood.
Exactly. All right. So here is the question.
Life Church leads to Death Church. But anyway, good.
Oh my goodness. That is awesome. No,
that was a little too much. All right, ready. All right.
So I had a question, and I feel like asking it publicly would make me seem petty. We're less than 6 months old. Be quiet, you. Mobile. We're meeting in a middle school, and we have about 100 people in our new location. Our sending campus is about 10 minutes away, running about 250. It's pretty good based on their context of where he's at. I just heard this morning that a mega church is moving half a mile away from our location to the high school down the road. They're probably going to launch with 400 to 600 church. They're probably going to launch with about 400 to 600 people. They're great. They're a great Bible-believing, Jesus-preaching church. They've been killing it in their area for the last however many years. I mean, they're 10,000 plus, 7 locations. I mean, they're just killing it where they're at. So as a church planter, how do I navigate something like this? In the end, all I want is that new people, you know, find their way back to Jesus. And in the back of my head, I'm scared of the school district raising their rent, church hoppers, you know, because they're just down the road, a loss of impact in their town, which their town's under 50,000 people. There's a similar vibe to the two churches as well. Same style of music. I mean, there's just a ton of similarities, even around preaching as well. I know the church I serve is God's church, and He will build it. It's just all new to me. Sorry for being long. I'm venting as much as anything. Do you have any advice for me? So there it is.
Well, my advice would be, don't be so bitter. Be my first thing of advice. No, dude, I'm going to tell you, I've heard this conversation 100 times. The advent of multi-site has sort of just changed so many things. I'm specifically thinking of a very, very pertinent example that was a new church plant. They'd acquired this building, actually. They're just going, and then boom, someone plants a multi-site mega church campus next door. And so here's a couple things we found. First of all, it's not going to be as bad probably as you think. You're probably not as engaged in much in the people's lives. And particularly if you're trying to reach people who don't go to church, you're not going to be engaged. You're not drawn from the same pond. There's a lot bigger ocean out there than the pond of people of your faith tradition. So I don't think it's going to be bad as you think. However, it is going to impact. And I think you got to be upfront and say, you know, what are the advantages you have? Well, we're a small community. We're sort of in this together. We're planting this church, you know, so I think to sort of lay out the advantages of being there and being a church plant rather than, you know, just another site of another church that's 100 miles away. You can actually, emphasize who you are, the advantages of being in a church plant and more.
That's a great point. I'm reminded of Our church here in Nashville, I mean, we're multi-site, we're two campuses, but by no means are we mega. There, it was a mega church that did plant a campus really close to where our church was about 2 years ago, and they huge impact, very similar story, similar context, similar sort of preaching. I mean, our church was bigger than his is, and we were also meeting in a school at the time as well. So it's interesting, you know, the similarities there. It's obviously not the same, and the area that I live in is about 50,000 people. Now, we thought there was probably going to be a greater impact, but there, of people leaving, and we did have families that left. We did. But actually, our church has grown, I mean, more than 100 people since that church launched. So it's not, you know, and our space has grown. There's been a ton of momentum in our church. So even when we look at that, we've actually had people who've been at that campus and actually come to our church from that campus as well. So I think I really appreciate what you said there, Ed, that, yeah, you know, check your ego at the door. There definitely is that side of it. Surrender it to the Lord, but you got to be who you are. And there are going to be people who want to be a part of your church and your family and your connecting, you know, that what you guys are doing in that city more than another campus of another church.
Yeah. And I think that ultimately is the key, is that I planted a church in North Georgia and, you know, all the cool churches in America are right around there. And you just, there's a sense that you're going to have to adapt a strategy that doesn't rely upon, you know, bringing all the cool people from other, you know, other churches and contexts, because you're not going to find as many as well. So, So I do think that, again, don't freak out as much, but instead ask, how do we differentiate ourselves? We're not mad, we're not, you know, it is a kingdom kind of thing, but at the end of the day, they're trying to do what God's called them to do, and thank God for them. You know, it's not always an easy thing, but thank God for them.
Yeah. Now, practically speaking, one of the things that in terms of growing your church, you do have to use a little bit of a different strategy, because you're not going to be able to outspend that church when it comes to mailers and advertising and, you know, Facebook marketing and every you know, all the kind of traditional ways to get your name and amplify that out. You're not going to be able to outspend that other church. However, people don't choose churches and people don't stick at your church based on who has the best show. And even if you have those people, you might not even want those people at your church anyway, right? So you look at the 100 people in your church right now, in your mobile setting, and I know you're less than 6 months old, but how do you create such connectedness and such community around those 100 people and really empower them to invite their friends? Right. Because Ed, maybe you can share a little bit from the evangelism research that y'all did with Lifeway Research, right? On non-Christians talking to, you know, Christians inviting non-Christians to their church and the non-Christians' attitude and opinion toward that. Because I just thought that research was fascinating.
Yeah, I do. And I think ultimately you do find an openness to those kinds of engagements. So a large church that plops a campus down, and I'm not saying it can't be great and on mission and all that kind of stuff, but a large campus, a church that plops a campus down, doesn't have the full connection that you can have as a church plant really working hard to reach people. Hmm. And I think if you can really be focused on reaching people, then I think it's going to be fine. And I know it feels weird, and there will be some negative impact on some of the Christians that you might have gathered otherwise. But I think ultimately it's going to be okay. And I'm not there. I'm not experiencing the challenge. But this is what more and more church planters are finding. And yet, I've planted churches just down the road from mega churches, and it's okay. It just takes a little time, maybe a little more time. But to be honest, maybe you wouldn't want those customers and consumers of the religious goods and services there anyway. Maybe it's better in the long run for you to just go and find people who don't connect to those churches.
Yeah. And by no means are we saying that those who go to multi-site or mega churches are consumeristic, or that everyone is like that. And those who go to church plants are, you know, the faithful few. That's not that's not what we're communicating here at all.
Right.
You have consumeristic Christians on both sides. on both sides. But when you think about who you are gathering and who you're reaching out to, there really is a unique benefit to what you are doing and how you can really leverage the 100 people that are a part of your church. So, but before we get into some of that research, just a quick word from our sponsor for today. Small groups typically meet once a week, but life happens every day. And that's why Lifeway created the Daily Discipleship Guide. This new addition to the Bible Studies for Life curriculum is used at the weekly meeting to help generate discussion, but it also contains 5 daily devotions to reinforce the learning all week long. This consistent time in God's Word helps create the habit of daily Bible reading and essential behavior for growing disciples. So you can download 4 sessions of the Daily Discipleship Guide at BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG. That's BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG. So Ed, yeah, can you elaborate a little bit on that research? Was it like 70 or 80% of the non-Christians that were surveyed said if a friend sincerely was sincere about their faith and invited them to church, that they would go with them?
Dude, you can't like ask me the numbers on a research project from 5 years ago.
It wasn't 5 years ago.
I've done 100 research projects then ago. Yeah, it was. I don't know. It was something like that.
Yeah.
Of course, people say they respond at a higher level than they actually do.
Okay.
But it was. There's just a significant openness to people. You know, I'm willing to have a friend and how do you put it, like a invite me or a family member. It's much higher. There's really good opportunity and space there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what, and we'll link to that research and link to the post that we did about that research and all that in the show notes. But that research was just so, so enlightening for me, because I think a lot of times we think, oh, but if I invite my friends, you know, they're probably going to hate me and they're not going to be on board, or maybe that's going to ruin our relationship. And that's just not the case. It's just not the case, especially when you sincerely care about them and there is that sincere friendship with one another. So Ed, you know, we talked about marketing, we talked about invitation, we talked about building community, you know, in a sense, really, this church planner needing to close their back door. We talked about checking their pride at the door. I mean, what final words would you have for this church planter? As it seems like they really are kingdom minded, but there is that side of it all. Should they reach out to the church that's coming in?
Definitely. Not only would I reach out, I would welcome them. I would work against your flesh. I would work against your fear, and I would welcome them into this. Then what I would do is I would redouble my commitments to evangelism and gospel proclamation and engaging in small groups. And I would just recognize that that a lot of the a lot of the people who are sitting around looking for a big church to come into their community that's cool and got cool music and all kinds of stuff, they might go there. But I think ultimately there's lots of people who don't know Jesus that you can engage and reach, and finding them is going to be the key.
That's awesome. Well, thanks again for listening into the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. We do encourage you to check out the One Thing podcast with our friends Scott Sanders and Derek Hanna. They're a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family, and recently they've covered, man, a ton of... What I love about them is they're thinking church planting. And Ed, what is that phrase that you love from them? Evangelize.
Oh, evangelizing. They spell evangelize differently, wrong in Australia, but they're evangelizing new churches into existence. And I love that.
Yeah. And they have so much wisdom as it relates to church planting, and it's great to learn from their context as well. So just take a look them up on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. We'll check you guys out next time.